This is Michelle.
And this is Andrea.
And we're Black Girls Vibe. It is Wednesday, April 3rd, 2019. Andrea Ford, what's going on in your side of the world?
Oh, how are we already into April? First quarter of 2019 is behind us.
It's gone. It's in the rear view.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wave bye-bye.
I know, right? Like,
it is no more.
No. So, yeah, it's like things are great, but it's all a blur.
Yeah. So maybe, I don't know if that foreshadows how these remaining three quarters of 19 will be, but the first one, man, that was quick. That was really quick.
Right? Yeah. So what's going on your end?
You know, I can't call it. I will say that had the opportunity to do a little traveling this week and got to attend the first ever Women and Athlete Development Conference down at the University of Central Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really dope. Like, just a lot of good energy. It was hosted by Dr. Janice Hilliard, a mentor of mine. She wasn't teaching at the University of Florida, but met her through my mentor at Florida while I was there. And she put on this fantastic half day. Really, it was a full day, but a back end of the day conference on Monday, focusing in on athlete development and women in that side of the sports profession. And nice. I came back really feeling restored and renewed and energized to continue to do this work. So it's been all good. It's been a good week.
Good. Sounds good.
Thank you, man. Well, shall we get to it?
If we must.
If we must. You know, as we've done the last several weeks, we are still in, even though we're in April, we're still in the middle of March Madness. And we are at the point where we have our final four teams identified.
Yes. Identified by the process of playing, but not necessarily accurately identified in our individual respective brackets.
Not remotely, because my bracket didn't contemplate a couple of things, actually. Thank you for asking. It didn't contemplate Gonzaga, who I had in the Final Four, losing to Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm.
Nor did it contemplate my dear Tar Heels just getting it handed to them by the Auburn Tigers. And who then handed it to Kentucky on Sunday. And congrats to all the teams that made it. But, you know, RIP my bracket. Let's just go ahead and congrats to you, RIP my bracket.
I know. Yeah, I hear you on that. So things that my bracket did not contemplate was mine started out with Michigan losing to Texas Tech. And then, yeah, it just became the North Carolina loss was tough.
It was very tough.
It was tough. And then, yeah, and then once Duke went down, it was like, well.
You know what? That too. Let me join you in that. Yeah, I did not have Michigan State beating Duke. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, an ironic twist of fate. After the games were concluded on Sunday, I ended up not last in our bracket.
See, so it's funny you mentioned that because I went back in, you know, because after I think it was Michigan, when they lost, I was like, oh, okay. And then when North Carolina lost, it was like, oh, I'm done. So strike match. Here is the bracket, even though we're not doing paper brackets anymore, but whatever you need to do to erase this electronic in this app, then that's
go
what
ahead.
Happened.
Do it.
But then when Duke lost, it was like, oh, I'm no longer at the bottom.
Right. I was, so you and I, yeah. So you're still right ahead of me. But we're no longer, I'm no longer last.
No. And no, so we are no longer last, but we are also no longer probably going
to
be. No,
and we have maxed out on points, possible.
we
it's not going to get any better for us. And to that point, I can go ahead and confer. I mean, we can't officially confer until Monday night, but we do know that our bracket will either be won by Large and Now or Veronica Gutierrez.
Absolutely.
Because
yep.
They're 1 and 2, and their possible points far exceed, you know, 3 through whatever remaining in our numbers remaining in our bracket. So congratulations, Veronica and Laura and or Laura. We'll talk to y'all next week and let you know which one of you won. But it's between the two of you.
Yes. Do you have a team left in the final four?
Well, thank you for asking. I do. They happen to be the Virginia Cavaliers.
Okay, that's the same team. That's my sole remaining Final Four team. So I was just curious, just with all of the red that has seemed to transpire across our brackets, if there was any green that was still left in those final four slots.
That's the only pride remaining in my bracket, frankly, because it's not like I have Virginia winning. So
no.
So yeah, I do have Virginia. So go Wahoos.
Right.
But you know, as far as who I think will take it all at this point, frankly, I'm rocking with Auburn. I'm a believer that the streak that they've been on, and listen, I know this is a tough conversation. This is very tough. I know it is. But I'm not such an Alabama fan that I can't acknowledge what Auburn is doing right now and how special it is.
And I will tell you.
And I can petty with the best of them. So the fact that I'm finding a way to rise above it is quite remarkable.
So I'll rise slightly above.
Okay, come on.
Right along with you.
Come on.
Because I agree with you. Like, they have played really well this entire tournament. So between them and Purdue, I think those were the two teams I saw just the entire, all of their matchups across all of the rounds have just played extremely well.
Yep.
So, you know, it'd be nice to bring a little bragging rights and championship back to the state of Alabama in basketball. So I would like to see them Auburn.
Wow. It's hard.
It is, but. Sure, I'll go with them to win it all.
But sure. You're sounding really convicted, friend. Just letting you know that.
I'm still working on it.
No, I know it's a work in progress. But again, I am cheering for Auburn and hoping they can pull it out. I will say this: the quality of play and the games. I mean. On Sunday, it was worth every bit of time you had to be watching those games. It you know, it wasn't like some of the games in the earlier rounds, or even say with my dear UNC on Friday with Auburn. It was, you know, you didn't have any blowouts. They were all kind of down to the wire games,
right?
Which is what this time of year is about when you talk about college basketball.
Yeah.
And we at Black Girls Vibe are doing a couple of things to commemorate the Final Four. The first of which is we've created and curated, well, we've actually created, not curated, a specialty cocktail for each of the teams in the Final Four. We'll be publishing the recipes for those cocktails. We're going to try to do that by tomorrow so that to the extent that folks are interested, they can get their ingredients and maybe have a cocktail and take some pictures and post them while they're watching the games on Saturday afternoon. So be on the lookout for that.
Mm-hmm. And what else do we have?
We're going to try to get some of our folks together on Monday for those who feel like coming out and watching the game. I've got to get some details confirmed around location. And obviously, we're still waiting for the time to be declared for, you know, tip-off. Typically, as I recall, that game usually starts around 8 o'clock Central.
Right.
So unless something holds out of pattern this year, that I'm operating under the assumption that it'll start about the same time this year, which can make for a late night. But, you know, if folks want to come through, even if it's just for a little while, we'll be posted up somewhere here in these mean Birmingham streets doing something.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that's it for, I guess, our March Madness talk. And, you know, by this time next week, we'll have a champion and. I'm sure there'll be a little bit more basketball to talk about because we still got 3 games left, and I'm sure they're all going to be great must-see TV.
Exactly.
So on to another topic, Andrea. Just yesterday we learned, following up on a topic that we discussed last week, that the Alliance of American Football is has suspended operations seemingly indefinitely. So this appears to be the death knell of yet another football league not named the NFL.
Right. And yeah, we did. We talked last week about the challenges that they were having with players and the, working with the pipeline of players, as they said, through the NFL Players Union. And so, yeah, like we talked a little bit just definitely in that last episode and just offline, basically throughout this season, that there were things that were occurring that didn't really give us, I guess, hope or confidence that the AAF would kind of last beyond the first season. But what are you kind of hearing, or what are your thoughts around why, you know, it's not, and we're not even, what, there's still a game left, and or there was still season to play.
There was still season to play, yeah. So as this has kind of unfolded over the last 24 to 30 hours at this point, it's been really interesting to see the information that's kind of leaking out. So, you know, when we talked last week, it was in terms of reports that the AAF was saying, we're going to have to fold because the players are union, the players union won't agree to let us use NFL players for our league, which was a little suspicious because it begged, you know, a number of questions, probably the most prominent being, well, what had been your did you have an actual understanding or a contract with the players union around this? Or had you merely assumed that they would make the players available? If that's the fact, then how had you based your whole business model around something that you hadn't kind of verified and gotten contractually taken care of? It was hard to imagine that that was going to be the reason why a league folded, like unavailability of players. And I don't know how much of that was a ruse now that we are where we are on this.
Right.
It seems pretty clear now that they knew last week that yesterday was coming, that announcement, that, you know, and they were trying to place responsibility for it, but they were trying to offer a reason for it. Like, if this happens, it's why. But I think folks are probably inclined to see through that. My heart goes out to all the people involved, people who left gigs to take jobs with this league and the respective teams, you know. My heart goes out to them. My heart goes out to the players having to figure out, particularly those who might not have gotten enough time playing and thus didn't generate enough tape for teams to evaluate whether they want to take a chance on them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that from the reports I'm hearing at the end of the day, this may have been a case of just poor execution at the league level. And lack of crossing of T's and dotting of I's, so to speak. There are reports that the team that I believe is based out of Orlando, Florida, wasn't practicing in Florida because the proper workers' compensation insurance hadn't been secured for them in Florida. So that team was actually practicing in Georgia because they were able to secure that workers' comp insurance quickly. So, you know, that tells me that there was just a lack of, at the end of the day, a lack of due diligence. Like, it's a lack of due diligence that leads you to not have the full conversation you need to have with the NFL and the Players Association around use of NFL players, right?
Right.
It's a lack of diligence that causes you to not have the proper workers' comp insurance in place.
Yeah.
So and that's you know, what's so disappointing is it's not as though they failed for because of something they couldn't foresee.
Right. And I would just wonder, like, how much, and, you know, clearly, like, not to understate how much is involved in starting a football league, right? But I just wonder, like, how much time and, you know, like, the detail of, like you said, just executing a workman's comp in a state where you have a team to practice. Mm-hmm. Like, how much time went into kind of developing that plan and the things that needed to be executed as part of it so that things like that didn't happen along the way. Again, it's not an easy thing. I'm not saying I could go out tomorrow and say, you know, in the fall, starting, you know, Andrea's American Football League or whatever that looks like. But I just wonder, too, if that's part of, like, if that's kind of the umbrella of why all of these issues, be it financial, the players union, the workman's comp, like all of these things, just because there was just not proper planning.
Yeah.
In essence, yeah. Ahead of time or enough time to work out these types of agreements and
that's
and
right.
negotiations.
That's right. You know, even learning that they had announced initially that the championship was to be held at University of Nevada at Las Vegas, otherwise known as UNLV. And UNLV issued a statement earlier this week or last week saying, yeah, we don't have a contract with the AAF to host the championship game here. And so they had to find a location for the championship game, which they ultimately secured ostensibly in Frisco, Texas last week. But just as those kinds of details have come out, like announcing things that hadn't been contractually secured, you know, it begs a lot of questions at this point. I mean, and frankly, I think we were all put on notice when they had to get the quarter of a $1 billion bailout. I think it was back in February. And it was that investor that more or less pulled the plug yesterday. By all accounts, Ebersol and Polian were kind of blindsided by this announcement yesterday. And some reports are indicating that that investor was really more interested. And there's another interesting piece about this. Like, there was a tech component to the alliance that wasn't just focused on football. There's like an app that this investor was particularly more interested in, frankly, than the football piece. Mm-hmm. And once he had that his hands on that part of the business, less, you know, without regard for the football piece, he was really indifferent about whether the football program continued.
Right.
And if that's the case, then it's like, you know, how many masters can you serve? I don't know of too many leagues that can dabble in. If you're going to be a football league, you know, probably need to focus in on that.
Right.
And not try to be like a tech guy like, you know, Carmelo wants to be. You want to go to the next topic?
Okay.
I said it. It's just like, oh, why did you do that?
Well, speaking of NBA players.
It's a great transition. Thank you for bailing me out. You can't even say Carmelo in basketball these days, but continue. Mm. Yes.
Well, so.
She is clearly on one today, guys.
Oh, clearly. Yeah. Well, yeah. You know. So we lost. It's hard to just even like just kind of sum him up as a rapper because that doesn't even seem to do him justice. But so kind of segueing to the NBA.
Yes.
But Nipsey Hussle.
Yeah. Man, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Senselessly gone down in Los Angeles in front of one of his stores.
Right.
Age of 33 leaves two kids and a partner and actress, Lauren London.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, more than a rapper.
Yeah.
It doesn't do him justice to say rapper. In fact, you know, of all the things that we know or have learned that he has done, that he did in his 33 years, I would so put rapping at the bottom of that list.
Right. So yeah, community activist.
Yep.
Entrepreneur. Yeah, so many. Father, clearly.
Supporting people in the community, like buying shoes for kids, for all the kids at a school. Workforce development, providing people jobs in his community. Yeah. Opening a STEM center and a co-working space. An amazing citizen.
Yeah.
And responsible citizen.
An
example.
And it's evident by, you know, whether you listen to his music or knew the work that he was doing in his in the neighborhood where he grew up. But I think both of us have seen just the outpouring on social media and in different interviews of people who just either knew him well and he impacted or just saw from a distance the efforts he was making to really make a change and were impacted by that. But especially athletes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And especially, you know, athletes, in the NBA, and specifically those kind of west of the Mississippi, right? Like those actually closer in geographic location to Los Angeles. I know that he was, I've just seen reports that, you know, he was tight with Boogie Cousins and Draymond, and Steph had just started getting to know him because of some work that they did together last year. And so, you know, he knew these guys personally. And I think more importantly, he was a model, an example of what life can look like for them after sports.
Right.
Like from an entrepreneurial standpoint, from an activism standpoint, from a giving back standpoint, philanthropic, mm-hmm. you know, he embodied all of those things. But I thought what Russ Westbrook did last night was very special. The triple double he got mm-hmm. for Nipsey.
Mm-hmm.
What a way to play tribute and honor his friend. Like yeah. this was he was friends with these guys. Like it's not one of those things where you have all these people come out of the woodwork and do the RIP and but it's empty or vacant because they didn't really know them. Like he was in relationship with these guys. And yeah. so you feel and you get that.
So it's nice to see that type of outpouring in such an unfortunate circumstance and situation. And hopefully, you know, those who were friends with him will continue the good work that he was trying to do and doing in the community. But yeah, it was nice to kind of see them honor him in that way.
Yeah, I saw you recall the actor that plays Issa's love interest in the most recent season of Insecure. Is his name Nathan mm-hmm. on the show?
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah, Nathan. The actor who plays him, his name is Kendrick something. He's a community activist outside of being mm-hmm. an actor. And, you know, he was making the point that, because you've heard all these kind of conspiracy theories being bandied about that, Nip was about to do that documentary on Dr. Sebi and, you know, expose the whole, the world, you know, expose like Big Pharma and the federal government and how they suppress Dr. Sebi's work. Mm-hmm. Listen, you know, far more important, we're not going to get into the whole conspiracy theory piece. For me, though, what I will say was his impact is much more profound than a documentary he was about to release. His
right.
impact was how he lived his life, how he transformed that community, how he transformed lives. So, yeah, I am loath to reduce his legacy to a documentary he was about to make. No, the real impact was in the work he did changing people's lives.
Yep.
So
giving them a place to shop in where they probably didn't have access before, expanding their opportunities. And like you said, in the tech space and STEM, showing how you can be in real estate and kind of buy property in your own neighborhood and start to turn that around and other
yeah.
things that he was doing. So, yeah, I totally agree with you there.
And having overcome the circumstances he came, having been a gang member himself.
Yep.
You know, he was a Crip and he talked about having seen murder and having seen death. And in fact, as I understand it, he was set to talk to LAPD like on Monday. Mm-hmm. about like anti-gang initiatives and how to quell gang
right.
activity. So, I mean, and that's another way in which he's a model and an example of how you can overcome your circumstance. He will be missed by, you know, the folks who knew him and frankly, just as much by those of us who didn't. Because it was clear he was very special.
Exactly. Absolutely.
So, yeah. Rest in peace. Rest in peace to him, and hopefully the rest of us can live in peace, as Country
yeah.
Wayne says.
Yes. Yes.
So, what else we got?
I think we're gearing up for our Black Girls Magic moment.
I think you're very right. Yes, ma'am.
So, one of the things that we talked about in our last episode was we had given a lot... You know, typically it's the, well, I shouldn't say typically, but there's a lot of interest in the men's tournament of the March madness, yes. Right? So all of the focus is on the men. But there are clearly women's teams that are doing well, and our female student athletes are excelling both on and off the court. So, you know, in our women's Final Four, there's UConn and Notre Dame, mm-hmm. and Oregon and Baylor. So the championship is, I think it's on the 7th, if my days are right. But it's coming up. But that's the Final Four. Great teams. I'll be curious to see who wins. But, you know, so instead of how we have identified, you know, in previous episodes, just one specific female or whatever, we talked, like, collectively, female student athletes are really excelling in the sports realm, specifically in basketball, but the graduation rates for these yep. ladies, it's amazing. So they spend nearly the same amount of time as their male counterparts, specifically in basketball, on and off the court. So they play the same number of games mm-hmm. or close to in this tournament.
Yep.
And African-American players, female players, are graduating at 88%.
That's crazy.
And it, right? Like, so they are, and at schools that are, you know, the UConns and the Rutgers and the Stanfords and the Kentuckys.
Elite programs.
Very elite programs, high quality education. And there were over 30 teams, I think there were 31 of these teams, that had perfect graduation rates for Black women.
Yeah, and one among them, UConn.
Right. Yeah, who, so imagine UConn, who had that very long run, perfect season, championships, and always, you know, showing up and making and being well represented in the tournament, yep. and to be a female student athlete in that program, graduating at a very high rate, perfect rate, and making it to the Final Four and championship, I'm in awe of these women. So we
absolutely
decided to make them collectively our Black Girls Magic moment for this
Yes,
week.
Ma'am. Well yeah. deserved. You ladies are doing it, as we say, in the classroom and on the court. And we know that the sacrifice it takes to do it, and you don't get recognized enough for what you're doing, but we're here to give you that attagirl and pat on the back and tell you to keep it up. It's tremendous what we're doing. I know that the NCAA had that, you know, life in a student athlete ad that ran a couple of weeks ago to some derision, particularly from current and former student athletes and professional athletes who play the collegiate level. And we know that isn't the lifestyle, you know, the lifestyle portrayed in that ad is not the lifestyle you all have as student athletes. So right. that you can keep up such a high standard of excellence academically, while balancing that academic pursuit with what we know is a very time consuming pursuit of athletic excellence on the court. Just well done, ladies.
Exactly. Well done. Very well done. So, yeah.
So that's it for this week. You know, next week we'll have our kind of wrap up on the March Madness saga, which will finally be over.
And, oh my goodness, yes.
You know, the ashes of the bracket will will be burning ever so gently in the corner.
Yep, delete this app immediately come Tuesday morning.
Yeah. And we'll get more fully, we'll be just days away from the end of the NBA regular season and the beginning of playoffs, so we'll probably have a little bit to say around that. Baseball is starting to, has officially started, and Bryce Harper went and played the Eagles. The Phillies played the Nationals last night, and the Nationals booed the heck out of Bryce Harper to no one's surprise.
Of course they did. Yeah. Right.
Well, what are they going to do?
As they should.
Right. So, yeah, we'll have more to talk about in those areas likely. And as different topics come up, we'll be sure to bring them to you in front of you all for our discussions of them. Hope you enjoy them. As always, yes. Check us out on all of the major platforms. In addition to finding us on Anchor, you can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Radio Public. I could go on, Breaker, on and on and on. I won't.
We are everywhere.
We are everywhere. And if we happen to not be on your favorite podcast app, hit us up. Find us on our Facebook page, which is the Black Girls Vibe Tribe. We can also be found at the same handle on Instagram and Twitter. So no excuse to not be able to find us. Come join us in the fun. We like to think we have fun on our page. Here's to hoping you all have a good week and that your brackets are more intact than ours are.
Definitely.
And hope to see some of you all out at some game watching on Monday.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you all have a good week.
All right.